Raising Playful Tots, show number 104. Thank you for joining me today for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad you could stop by today. My name is Melitza. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids. Introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room, so come and join us as we play on the balance bike up and down this road. Last week's show, I shared an interview with Tonya Cooley about what type of play happens inside an early intervention occupational therapy session. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show, I'm talking to Jennifer McGrail from the PathLessTaken.com. In our quest to raise playful tots, we will encounter many different educational philosophies. We discussed a few of them on the show already, like Waldorf play in show number 30 and 36, Montessori play in show number 92, Forest Schools in show number 85, and homeschooling in shows 43 and 44. Guests came on and shared what it's like to raise a playful tot using these particular principles. Today's show is a little different, partly because there is no one definition and it's not without controversy. According to Wikipedia, it offers a range of educational philosophies and practices centered on allowing children to learn through their natural life experiences, including play, gameplay, household responsibilities, work experience, and social interaction, rather than through a more traditional school curriculum. One thing I hope you'll do during this interview is take away a new awareness of unschooling. While you listen, check out Jennifer's site at thepathlesstaken.com. So I hope you'll stick around. If you've enjoyed the show, come on over to raisingplayfultots.com/104 and leave a comment or share your thoughts in a voicemail. Thanks. I'll be right back after this break.
Hi, this is Dan Miller, author of 48 Days to the Work You Love, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Today, I'm talking to Jennifer McGrail from The Path Less Taken. Jennifer writes passionately about being a family of six traveling in the western part of the USA. We've talked on the show about some well-known styles and types of play like Waldorf and Steiner play, Montessori, forest schools, homeschooling. Unschooling is likely to be one of the least known of these types of parenting styles. Maybe. How many unschoolers do you know? I've never met one. I've enjoyed reading Jennifer's adventures. Today we're talking about gentle parenting, unschooling, and raising a family. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about unschooling today. What does it look like in your home?
Well, it really depends on the season and it depends on the kid. The great thing about unschooling is that you get to flow with your life wherever it happens to be. Sometimes we'll be in a really busy season where the kids are taking lots of classes and doing lots of things outside the house. And then other times will be lots of things inside the house, lots of just playing and games and reading and computers. And so it's just very unique to each child and to each time of their life, really.
So what does it look like right now, would you say? We're in spring, almost summer. Well, I guess we are in summer now, really.
Well, we just came off a very, very busy season. The kids were real busy with sports and music lessons and scouts and lots of activities. So for the past couple weeks, we've been trying to slow things down a bit. Everyone's kind of been quieter. The only thing we have going on right now is swimming. The kids are taking swimming lessons. Other than that, they're really just working on their own little quiet projects at home. And so that's been nice to take that breath.
Yes, yes, I completely understand that. We've just come off a half term here in the UK, and it's been nice to just stop for a little while and go, huh.
Yes.
So tell us how you came to the decision to unschool.
Well, it was really just an extension of the way I parented. We always believed in attachment parenting and just keeping our kids close and playing with them and listening to them. And once I started learning about unschooling, I kind of said, hey, this is what we do already. And it just made so much sense to us. And so as we started to do it and it worked, you know, if it's not broken, you don't fix it.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. So what's it like being an unschooling family in a world where many other families are using public schools? How does that work out?
Well, the nice thing is that we do have a really welcoming community of other homeschoolers and unschoolers. So we're able to have people who get it and who understand and who agree with the lifestyle. In some ways, sometimes you feel like you're living in a little bit of a bubble, but then you get on the internet and you see that most of the world really doesn't. And that's when it can sort of start to feel, you remember that, oh yeah, I'm doing this thing that people think is weird.
Yes.
But in real life, it's nice because we really do have a great community of other homeschoolers and unschoolers.
Oh, so does that mean that you do lots of activities together or you meet up? Do you have like resources, that type of thing?
Yes, absolutely.
So how does that work? Do you have like I've heard of homeschool co-ops where you will meet up and do a certain class or activities together. Does the same kind of thing work with unschooling too?
Yes, we've belonged to different groups that have had classes, and we belong to groups. Right now we belong to a group that's mainly a support group, but we do park days if the kids want to. There's book clubs they can get involved in, science classes, there's plays, there's field trips, there's basically as much stuff as they want to get involved in, it's there for the taking. It's just whether or not they want to participate in it or not. That's one of the advantages of living in a city that has that.
Right.
Has that many resources.
Right, right. So you're able to pick and choose what you really want to do.
Right.
So how easy is it to unschool then?
Easy is it?
Yeah.
It's simple. It's in the sense that once you're really connected with your kids, you just go with the flow and go with what they're interested in, what they want to do, and where their passions lie. But it's not for a lazy parent, that's for sure.
Right.
Because you have to be very, very involved. And it gets tiring sometimes having, you know, lots of kids with lots of different interests and things they want to do, but it's definitely worth it.
Right, so you can't just decide today that tomorrow you're going to be unschooling necessarily. You really have to know, you have to be connected with your children, that's how I
Absolutely.
Understand it, so that you can find where they are at, so that you can help them to continue in that direction. And of course you have four children, so that could be four different directions that you need to be able to work with.
Right, and I have four children from ages 4 to 15, so obviously they're going to be doing very different things, the 15-year-old and the 4-year-old.
Yes, yes.
So,
whew, yes, I'm just thinking about that. I have a much smaller age gap, and I find that difficult sometimes when we're working together to find something. But there actually are quite a lot of common strings that run through everything, and so I'm sure you find that it works out really well. And when they're your own, you have a style that you must have with them that's a family style that must work there too.
Yes, it's very... A lot of people, I think, mistakenly think that unschooling is just all about the kids, and it's not. It's about the family. It's very family-centered. We do a lot as a family, and that's really where it all starts, is from the family unit, not from just the kids or just the parents, but as a family.
Today I'm talking to Jennifer McGrail from The Path Less Taken. You can find out more about her adventures in unschooling by visiting jennifermcgrail.com. Do you feel that you have to always justify your position as a family?
You know, I don't, and in the beginning I did. My oldest is 15 now, so it's been a long time. We've always unschooled. So in the beginning I did. I felt like I had to justify it, and I had to explain it, and I would feel defensive.
Yes.
But once we did it, and we saw it, and we became confident in it. I don't feel that way anymore. We're very, very happy. And, you know, if other people don't like it or don't understand it, that doesn't have anything to do with us, because we're still happy and we know how it works for us.
Oh, that's brilliant. I think with the way that the internet has and social media has allowed us to share things a lot more, it's become a lot more easier for us to understand the many different ways of parenting that are about and kind of try them on, a bit like going into a department store and trying on different clothes. You could try right. on different parenting styles and kind of see what fits for your family a lot more with the internet. Would you say that that's changed in the last 15 years that you've been unschooling?
Oh, absolutely. When I first started looking on the internet about unschooling, it was there, but not nearly to the extent that it is now. Now there's a whole huge community of people that I've found through my blog and their blogs and websites. So there's definitely not a shortage of support out there if you need it.
Oh, that's brilliant. If you could sum up your parenting philosophy in a few sentences, what would it be?
I would say my biggest philosophy is just to treat my kids the way I would want to be treated. I mean, the way I'd treat anyone is, you know, do unto others. And I want to treat them kindly and compassionately and with respect. And everything else sort of stems from there. If I keep that at the forefront of my mind, everything else just kind of falls in line.
That's a brilliant way of looking at it. It can be really hard to keep the perspective of that as any parent, to remember all of those things, because the day-to-day life just kind of creeps in all the time. And so that's really good that you're able to kind of keep that upfront and personal to your family like that. What type of activities do you do with your family? Since you're unschooling, I'm imagining, I mean, I really don't know enough about unschooling families. That's why I'm asking the questions. What type of activities do you do with your family? Is it a different type of day?
During our day-to-day life?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say our day-to-day life isn't much different than another, say, homeschool family, except that we're not doing schoolwork because my husband works during the day, so it's me and the kids. And, you know, we do whatever sort of activities they're into at the time, or we may go out, you know, to a museum or to the library or out and around town. On the weekends, though, we love to be outside. We're big on exploring, so we love to go camping and hiking and geocaching. We just spent 4 days driving through the Mojave Trail in the Mojave Desert.
Wow, amazing.
Those are I'd say our favorite things to do together, are just getting out and exploring.
Well, you can do that type of thing when you're a mobile family like this, can't you? You can just take off and do what you need to.
Yeah.
You can connect with Jennifer on Facebook and join one of over 2,500 fans. That's facebook.com, The Path Less Taken blog. We have an occasional series called Mums Around the World to learn a bit more about life in your part of the world. Because we all play differently and we all live in different places. Sometimes it's the climate that's different. Sometimes it's just the people that are different. But I always find it really interesting to find out what happens in different parts of the world and kind of compare them, because there's probably a few things that we all do exactly the same and some things that we do very, very differently. So here's the first question. City or countryside, where would you love to live and raise your children?
Well, where we live actually is the perfect place for us, because we are in a city, but it's right on the outskirts of desert. So it's sort of the best of both worlds. We have all the things that the city has to offer, but just a couple minutes drive and we're out in the middle of nowhere. So I think that's the kind of place we'd like to stay, to be able to get to have the advantages of both those places.
Age groups of your children?
4, 8, 11, and 15.
Favorite toys from them?
Well, the little one is mostly into playing with little figures and ponies and dolls. And the 8-year-old, he's all about science kits and magnets and experiments. And 11 and 15-year-old, they like remote controls and computer games mostly.
And what toys do you like them to play with?
I like them to play with anything that they like. If they're excited about it, I'll be excited about it with them.
What was play like when you were younger? What are your best memories?
My best memories, I'd say, would be playing outside with my sister. I have an older sister, and we would play outside with normal toys like Barbie dolls, but we put parachutes on them and like throw them off the barn and make them go on big adventures. And those are the memories that stuck with me the most.
What a brilliant thing to do. What's your biggest play challenge, would you say, at the moment?
I think the hardest thing is keeping everyone happy between the different ages. Like a 3-year-old is not going to know not to throw all the little tiny pieces of the game that the 8-year-old wants to play with.
Yes, yes. Yes, I have a 3.5-year-old and a 9-year-old, and yes, that is a big problem in our house too as well. Homemade Play-Doh, store-bought Play-Doh, which type of mum or no Play-Doh are you?
I have done both. I've made it, but usually I buy it because it's easier, and sometimes you just have to go for easy.
Exactly. 3 play activities that you do every week.
Every week, I'd say we play some sort of border card game every week. We play with some sort of building toy, blocks, Legos every week, and some sort of action figures every week.
Uh-huh, yes. Action figures are big in our house, too. What about when you have to wait anywhere and the children have to come with you? What type of activities do you have to do? I guess with your older children, you probably won't have to do that. They can stand now. Do you have to do anything with them? What about your younger children?
The younger ones, my daughter really likes I Spy. We'll play that a lot when we have to wait. Or games where she can still move around a little, like Simon Says.
Ah, very good. The wiggly games.
Yes.
if you're in a car, or what activity do you normally keep there? Or maybe, I guess you're out of pushchairs and strollers now. So, yeah, what game or activity do you keep in a car?
Well, one thing that works in all situations is just a pen and paper, because you can play tic-tac-toe or hangman or draw pictures, or that's like our go-to if there's nothing else.
That's brilliant, because it's really easy to be able to do that, isn't it? You can just be able to use it that quickly. Have you ever been to a play group, and what was it like?
We have been to some play groups, and we've had fun. Usually we use them to make friends and don't end up going back again, because we sort of like to do our own thing. But they are a really good way, especially if for new moms, if they're lonely or haven't connected with people, to meet other moms and get ideas and get that support that they need.
You've been listening to Jennifer McGrail from The Path Less Taken, sharing her thoughts on radical unschooling, mindful parenting, and this crazy beautiful thing we call life. Thanks for being on the show today, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I'll be right back after this short break. Question, call it into our voicemail. Visit raisingplayfultots.com and look for the blue button on the sidebar. Click on it and leave a comment right there about the show. Maybe you've got a playful link that you want to share or a tip. It's a free service on the website wherever you are playing all around the world. Click and share how you're playing. Like us on Facebook at Raising Playful Tots. If you've enjoyed the show, maybe you've learned something, maybe you've tried something, I would love it if you would leave a review for us on iTunes, which helps other people who are looking for play activities find out about the show. Visit raisingplayfultots.com/iTunes page. I know lots of you are looking for play inspiration, then Pinterest is where you want to be looking. updated regularly. I have boards from sensory play to pretend play, parenting, family activities, outdoor play, mark making, plus podcasts and videos that I recommend. You don't need to have a Pinterest account to view all these pinned activities. Check them out at raisingplayfultots.com/Pinterest. Welcome back to the show. I really enjoyed learning more about unschooling with Jennifer, and I'm thankful she was happy to come on the show and share that part of her life with us. We took the boys to the beach this weekend, armed with our wellies and rain macks, and we had the fun of exploring a new area on the coast. The weather was cool, but light winds, and it was bright, so we had a great time going out. It did take us ages in the morning, though, packing everything up to take with us. It was kind of a spur-of-the-moment decision over breakfast. We had an impromptu scramble up the side of a hill to hear where the music was coming from. When we got there, we got to listen to an amazing brass band playing to a whole bunch of people who were sitting and listening, and so that was pretty amazing. And they were playing all the 007 tunes, so we could all rock out to those. And then we had a full fish and chip supper, vinegar and salt and ketchup, yum. I love days out like that. Sadly, our middle son started coughing from the afternoon, and by the early hours of the morning, we were in hospital with a full asthma attack in flow. Our first one. To say the last few days have been a haze is a bit of an understatement. Thankfully, he's fine now and out of hospital, and we're armed with a whole bunch of inhalers and appointments and things to do. Managing two other children with one in hospital isn't easy. I'm really thankful to friends who ferried the kids to and from school and looked after them. Having a chance to play and eat at a friend's house for an extended time was definitely a highlight for the youngest and the oldest one this week. I did manage to teach the little one while we were in hospital together the game called Boxes. You know, the one where you put a series of dots in a grid pattern and you draw a line, then he draws a line, and you're trying to make the other person complete the box so that you can put your letter in the box. So I actually taught him that game, and we played that quite a lot. He could manage that. So we're all recovering a little bit this week from a lack of sleep and trying to take it easy with our playtime. I have a competition to win some books over on the website, so take a trip over there and visit and see if you want to enter for more details. I'd like to say congratulations also to Rebecca S. from last week, who won a free ticket to the parenting class that I talked about via the special subscriber area of the newsletter. Congratulations, Rebecca. You can sign up to the newsletter, and I also offer a special report about play just for joining. Thank you, Knitting Mummy 714, for your 5-star review of the show on iTunes. I hope you've been having a playful week and would love to hear what you have been up to. I'll see you next time. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 104. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.